Hey, Bob WP here, and welcome to Scaling Enterprise, WordPress, and OSS, a Do the Woo podcast show. Woo! Woo! This show is brought to you by Avalara, where they help with cloud-based and scalable global tax compliance. Avalara focuses on creating the most comprehensive cloud-first tax compliance content across the global compliance lifecycle. I'll tell you more about Avalara later in the show, but let's dive into Scaling Enterprise, the inside track.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Enterprise WordPress podcast, Scaling Enterprise. This is the inside track edition of the podcast, which I'm very excited to dig into. So on this show, we're really digging into Enterprise WordPress, of course, but really within the community, within WordPress, like what's happening, what's going on with Enterprise, who's launching cool sites, what kind of crazy functionality or examples within the Enterprise have we seen to really kind of validate what WordPress can do at scale within these large organizations. So I'm really excited to dig in on the show, a new show. So I have brought on a couple of my friends, good friends on the show. So let's meet them and then we'll dive right into it. First up, we got Mr. Tom over there at Human Made. Tom, why don't you tell everybody who you are and what you do, especially around the kind of the enterprise side of WordPress?
Sure. Well, if folks listen to the episode we put out a couple of weeks ago, which was with Kareem, the buyer's view, they might remember me from that. If not, plug, go and listen to it. It was a great episode. So I'm the co-founder and CEO of Human Made, also one of the founding members of Scale. Been doing enterprise WordPress for coming on 15 years or so. So got plenty of scars and stories to tell.
Lots of stories to tell. We can't wait to get into some of those stories. The ones you're allowed to share outside those NDAs, right? And next up, of course, we have Mario. Mario, why don't you introduce yourself?
Hey, everyone. First off, pleased to be here. Great crowd. I've known you guys for like over a decade now, maybe close to 15 years. My name is Mario Peshev. I run several different companies. One of them is DevRigs. It's a WordPress boutique agency profiling in small and medium enterprises, even though we work with some Fortune 1000s. We used to work with Meta, automotive companies, banks, telecom. So enterprise is very dear to my heart. If it wasn't for enterprise, I wouldn't have discovered WordPress. And I wouldn't have stuck long enough in WordPress if it wasn't for enterprise either. So that's definitely something I love talking about.
Awesome. Yeah. And I'm especially excited because not only do we know each other, we all run our own agencies. We've been doing this for well longer than 10 years, over a decade. But I also think it's interesting because of just our locations within the world, right? Especially kind of bringing not only experiences within WordPress online, but also where we live, right? So I'm in Philadelphia. I'm on the East Coast in the United States. Tom, where are you at?
I'm in France. So currently enjoying the Olympics, originally from the UK. So.
Are you at the Olympics?
Well, I want to say I'm at the Olympics right now.
Are you living in France now? I didn't even realize you moved.
I do live in France. Yeah, I lived here for a couple of years now.
You are a big Olympics fan if you move there 2 years ahead just to get ready for it. So. That's cool. And Mario, you're a little bit further over there, right? Where are you at?
Not too far off from Tom. Right now I'm in Bulgaria, which is just one time zone ahead. But we used to be a little further apart when you used to live in the UK, right, Tom?
Exactly, yeah.
A little closer. But yeah, I think it's just having the not only a perspective, like I said, of what we do with online, because it's amazing that we can connect like this. I'm still blown away by technology and that we can just kind of get together and chat about things. So it's going to be a lot of fun because I think we're going to have different perspectives as well with our clients and just our experiences. So let's jump in. I know we got a lot of big topics we want to kind of dive into and talk about. The first one that I like to ask people this, and people ask me this a lot too, but I think it's a fun question. It's really just defining enterprise, specifically within the WordPress world, right? It's such a big, it's just a heavy word, right? Enterprise, right? Like, what does that mean? Like, I'd love to hear, I think each one of us maybe take a turn and just kind of in our own words, when someone says enterprise or enterprise WordPress, like, what does that mean to you? How do you describe, you know, WordPress within the enterprise? And Tom, you want to kick us off?
Sure. I mean, probably, you know, in its simplest form inside the WordPress space, usually it just means big stuff, right? Big projects or big companies or something. Probably that's how we all like first came across it. WordPress starting to be used for more serious stuff. I think also you can think like in the broader software world, enterprise often just means like customized, right? You're not going to take the off the shelf. You go on the pricing page, it says $100 a month, $200 a month, contact us. Enterprise is the contact us option.
It's the no price listed option, right? Like,
right, no price listed option. There's no off the shelf plan for you. You need to customize it. And so you need to work with like, you know, often you need to work with one of our service providers to do that. I think in the enterprise CMS space, you can often think of the difference as being like enterprise need a platform. They don't really think of it as like, we want a website and what's the CMS we're going to use for a website. They think we need a platform to power all our websites, to power all the stuff we're doing, to integrate with all the stuff we're using to fit with all of our workflows, hence the need for it to be heavily customized. So I guess, yeah, probably that's how I'd like think about it.
Yeah, Mario, let's hear your take, and I'll give you mine, and we'll see where if we're all thinking the same way, if we land a little different.
Yeah, I love the definition of enterprise being the Cobalt plan. It's always custom. You always talk to an enterprise sales rep. You always have a custom quote, an RFP and presentations index and stuff. And the reason you do that is you're talking to like 12 different stakeholders. You have to escalate to the board and get approval from the CFO, and it's just a, you know, slow to this process. Like if we have to get like super literal, once again, enterprises, you know, it comes from Latin and then it goes to French, and I don't speak French, so Tom can correct me, but it comes from, what is it, entreprendre or so, which is like to undertake, or however it's translated. Tom, do you know the actual definition? You've been living there for 2 years.
No, I don't know the old French definition of enterprise, unfortunately, but I'll do my research for the next show.
There we go. But yeah, I mean, essentially, it's just to undertake. And, you know, we are all entrepreneurs, right? Because we, you know, we start new businesses, we undertake actions. So, you know, semantically speaking, even a one-person company is an enterprise. Realistically speaking, we have micro enterprises up to like 10 people or a certain revenue cap. Then we have small enterprises up to 50 people, small, like medium enterprise up to 250, and then they just keep scaling up. In the grand scheme of things, you know, looking at the top of the chart, I always take a look at like S&P 500 or NASDAQ companies. Most of the FANG companies, they do have hundreds of thousands of employees. Amazon, I believe, is probably the largest out of the tech at least. They used to peak at about 1.5 million staff members. And now they're at like 1.3, 1.4, but we are talking about, you know, hundreds of thousands, maybe even millions of team members, which, of course, if you can imagine an org chart, it gets to lots of different C-levels and VPs and senior VPs and then directors and supervisors and like all these kind of trailing down. So the difference between like a small startup-ish project and an enterprise, I usually speak to more people, you have to take more decisions, you have to deal with data, privacy, security, scalability, and lots of other different considerations that you may not necessarily be dealing with in a small team environment. How about you, Brad?
Yeah, you know, I kind of go back to how Tom simplifies it, like big WordPress, right? Like that's how I've always described it. Big WordPress, big challenges, you know, big goals, big needs, right? Like they're just, it's just, and some, when I say big, it may not be that what they might need is necessarily a big lift to build, but when you build something in the enterprise for a big conglomerate or big company, like there, things take a lot more work, right? To do even simple tasks. So, I think big is it's not always this massively complex customized system, right? It just means building things that are going to scale in the enterprise, are going to handle the traffic, that are going to meet all those really strict security requirements, accessibility requirements, you know, all these things that every company out there is important to them. But they need agencies like ours to help them through that, navigate through that, especially when it comes to WordPress. But yeah, I'd love to hear it. I think most people think when you hear enterprise, it's like Microsoft or like it's just these biggest of the biggest, right? That, you know, the whatever, the S&P, you know, 100. But it could be quite a bit bigger than that. I honestly think, you know, Tom, you guys do a lot of work with universities and stuff. I think a lot of the universities I consider enterprise because they have big needs and big challenges.
Yeah, they certainly have enterprise needs.
Yeah, a lot of content that they're trying to figure out how to make it in a way that people can find what they need, right? Which is probably one of the biggest challenges for universities and even local government is the sheer size of content they have to have out there and then make it easy to find what you're looking for, right? But yeah, that's how I kind of define it. I think it's a big term because it is, you know, it should be, but it can mean a lot of different things to a lot of different people. Which we'll talk about a little bit, the State of Enterprise survey that went out, we'll get into that. But the way it's defined within the survey, which I thought was pretty good too, is a high-profile brand, a publisher with a national and or global audience, or a corporate conglomerate, right? So I think that kind of helps summarize it too. But it's really big WordPress, big needs, right? So why is enterprise and WordPress so important? Why are we talking about it? Why, especially like, you know, when I say we, I mean, not just the three of us on the show, but like agencies that really help build WordPress at scale within the enterprise. Obviously, this is important to us, but why is it important for the larger community within WordPress? Why is enterprise, why are we focused so much on it? Why are we spending so much time? I don't want to try to help grow WordPress within the enterprise, help, you know, corporations realize that it's a great product that can compete with anything that they're using, you know? But why is it? Because the majority of people that use WordPress could care less about the enterprise, right? This is a very small percentage of WordPress builders and users that would be considered in this space, right? So the big question is, why is it important for WordPress that we're actually talking about the enterprise and trying to get more people to adopt WordPress within the enterprise? I'll just open it up, whoever wants to jump in.
Well, so from where I stand, it's one of the reasons is the versatility of WordPress as a platform. So when we take a look at different software applications or tools or so, we do have a pretty broad spectrum of like a single creator or a solopreneur type of systems and very high scale enterprise solutions out there. And WordPress is one of the very few platforms that is able to serve both at the same time, right? There are certain, and I'm probably not going to name specific names or so, but like just the indie hacker solopreneur tools that are one person only. They don't have a team plan. You cannot add more members. There's no security, data privacy support and stuff. It's just one single person can use that, all of the freelancers or like single individual people. And then there's the Adobes, the Salesforces, and like all of the other corporations building pretty hardcore tools that if you're like, think of SAP, right? You cannot deploy an SAP as an ERP for any organization that has fewer than, I would say, 500 people. Probably if you're 200, maybe you can use it and not spend like the 20 people's time, full time operating the ERP. But for the most part, you need to be a massive conglomerate to be able to use that. And unlike all of these, WordPress is probably the one, and if not one and only, one of the very few ones, Drupal may probably fall in the same camp, but the one that's super suitable for starting out, being a freelancer, a photographer, a journalist, a blogger or so, but then at the same time serving universities and NASA and the White House and all the other different segments covering the enterprise. So the reason it's so important is historically speaking, in 2003, when WordPress started, it started as a blogging platform, right? It wasn't supposed to be the go-to enterprise tool, while other players in the market were. That's how they started. This was the pivot. This was the goal. And now we are managing, 43.5% or so of the web. But our enterprise coverage is still limited because we are not talking enough about all the capabilities and opportunities of WordPress, which is why lots of enterprises are just not considering WordPress as one of the suitable tools to use, which is a shame. And that's essentially why we have to talk more about that.
I mean, that probably speaks to the opportunity and challenge for WordPress and why it's so important. You know, in some ways, as you said, Brad, the majority of users, right, aren't enterprise users. It's a fairly small user base. But actually, as an economic segment of the WordPress economy or something, enterprise is actually huge. I don't know what the stats would be, but I imagine it's up there a lot. You know, maybe hosting an e-commerce or something is larger, but probably after that, the enterprise kind of part of the ecosystem is probably the third largest or something. And so like the amount of money and resources that brings into the ecosystem is pretty large. And we see that, right? The number of enterprise agencies that contribute to core or something, again, it's fairly sizable. So I think that's just like one factor, I think, part of its importance, just the outside influence it has and like the outside role it has to play, I think, in WordPress. I think also just the fact that like these well-known brands, sure, maybe you're just moving one website to WordPress when you're doing NASA, but it's such a well-known brand. It has this like huge impact actually out in the market in terms of WordPress being taken seriously. Well, I mean, one thing I love about WordPress is that, you know, NASA are using WordPress core. You as a freelance photographer can go and download WordPress core and you get the same thing. And that's actually like really not true. SAP is a good example, right? You wouldn't want to use SAP if you were a freelance photographer, but you couldn't even if you wanted to. There's not that many products actually where that's true, where you really get the same product. And so I think that's another reason why it's important. All of the innovation that happens at the enterprise tier can flow down and be available to everybody, which is really cool.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great point, the innovation, right? Especially from open source, right? The more we contribute, we as a community within the WordPress project, the more anyone contributes, the better the project's going to be, the better the software. And so the enterprise is bringing, you know, where we see those contributions, which many of these large organizations are starting to get into more, which is awesome. But we're starting to see where they're more focused on these areas that, you know, smaller sites would never even maybe run into those problems, like the scalability side of it, right? Like the site's going to have 1 million posts in 1 month. Is that going to scale? So being able to contribute, you can go in there and actually help WordPress. If there are bottlenecks, of course, we know it can scale and can handle that, right? Especially if you have the right host and server setup. But understanding if there are bottlenecks, I can think of a specific one. This was back, I don't know, 8, 10 years ago. But as multi-site was starting to get more popular, networks were getting bigger, and WordPress was having a real challenge handling large networks. So if you imagine you have 1,000 sites in your network, and you go like a network drop-down list, it would just bomb because it was trying to load all these sites. And like, same with users. If you had like 1 million users, WordPress would just break because you couldn't load 1 million. It would just break trying to pull that data back. These sites that were basically pushing WordPress kind of to its limits exposed those limits. And now we have, as a community, worked on that and made it so it does scale. You can't have unlimited amount of users, unlimited amount of sites in the network. And it's not just going to blow up, right? It's going to work. So, and that all came from these larger builds kind of pushing the limits and then, you know, discovering, hey, we got to fix this. This isn't going to scale if we don't do something about it. And now it's, you know, like I said, we've all seen it at scale on these massive networks or massive sites. So I love that idea of just kind of those larger problems kind of, you know, trickling down and hopefully being fixed at the, you know, within the enterprise teams and contributing back. So that's the number one thing. If they're not contributing back, then open source isn't going to work anyways, right? So
I mean, I think we've seen that play out, right? Where it used to be, I mean, I think probably one of the reasons why enterprise WordPress is kind of synonymous with just big WordPress is because actually it was quite hard to do big WordPress back in the day. And so a lot of the stuff we were solving then as enterprise, like service providers, was just scale and performance. But actually, like a lot of that has been solved. Now it's not particularly hard to run WordPress at scale. And that's thanks to that work trickling down, being fed back directly. And now, yeah, now we can focus on other stuff, which is cool.
And going back to another point, I think, Tom, you might have made around kind of validating WordPress, right? You mentioned NASA. Once NASA's live, you know, whitehouse.gov, probably the number one, probably the most targeted government website in the world, probably one of them, at least, if not number one, is running WordPress, right? So being able to say that with full confidence as an agency owner trying to validate WordPress to an enterprise, there's a lot of value behind that, right? No, we didn't build that site. But somebody did, and it's amazing, and it's on WordPress, right? NASA's doing it. Whitehouse.gov is doing it. You can do it. Microsoft's running it. Their whole security team does an annual audit of WordPress. If Microsoft says it's okay to run it, it's probably okay for you, right? So it helps validate and make these conversations easier, especially as we're trying to bring WordPress to the table for a lot of these organizations. Because I think, Mario, you mentioned earlier about Adobe AEM. I can remember sales pitches where I'm sitting there like in a boardroom of Viacom, pitching WordPress and why all their sites should be on WordPress, and some weren't. They're trying to figure out what they wanted to go all in on. And then right behind us was Adobe with about 30 people, multiple like professors of data science coming up there showing all. And I'm like, yeah. Versus my much smaller team, I'm like, how do we compete? And that was where it was really eye opening that we need to collectively within this community, those of us that are in the WordPress space, we need to work together. Right. We need to put our voices together, our thoughts together, and help lift WordPress into the enterprise space, which is exactly what we're doing here. Right. Exactly what like Scale Consortium is doing, what we're doing here, working with the WordPress core team and contributors, because now we're working on the WordPress.org/enterprise page. If you didn't know that exists, go check it out. Not a ton to look at yet, but I promise you we're working on it. And so it's nice to see that things are happening, because even just a couple of years ago, none of this, there wasn't an enterprise page. We were all on our own trying to pitch WordPress and realizing that's not going to get us where we need to go. So that's why it's important, because WordPress actually grows because of the enterprise, right? Just like it grows from small businesses using it, you know? So it is a good thing for all of us.
I'm sure you'll feel reassured if your clients' enterprise sites are hassle-free and tax compliant. Avalara offers the compliance benefits that your clients need. With their reliable and scalable rate determination and customization with Avalara, you can be confident that your clients' tax rates are always accurate and up to date. Their streamlined process means reduced maintenance and IT obligations, so your team and your enterprise clients can focus on what they do best. Plus, Avalara's future-proof SaaS flexibility ensures that you and your clients are always up to date. You can depend on enterprise-class security, so you can trust that your client's data is safe and secure. And lastly, Avalara's intuitive interface makes managing compliance simple, and their friendly support team is always ready to help. So yes, Avalara, compliance done right for your enterprise clients. Check them out at avalara.com.
I want to mention a little bit about the state of the enterprise WordPress survey. So this has gone around, and it was from 2023. So it's obviously we're, you know, a little past the halfway mark of 2024. But I think it's interesting to look at it retrospectively. But also, I wanted to also highlight the fact that the 2024 survey is also live. So if you have not seen it, definitely go. It's soepp.com stateofenterprise.wordpress, SOEPP.com is where you can take the 2024 survey, but you can also view the results of last year's survey. This is really spearheaded by a number of agencies. I think Big Byte and HumanMade, you guys were pretty involved in this. And I know a lot of us were helping promote it because it's getting data back. But essentially, they interviewed approximately over 100 corporations, enterprise, what would be considered enterprise level companies, enterprise brands, I should say. Macy's, News Corp, these are big, these are enterprise, right? Big WordPress, The Times. And it got some really interesting data back. So if you guys have any data points that stand out, there are a few that stood out to me that I thought we should touch on. But if there's any other data points you want to talk about, please, let's do it. Because it's interesting. I love this type of data because I haven't seen this before, specifically on WordPress and enterprise. So just getting having anything to talk about and look at, I think, is really interesting.
Yeah, I mean, that's the first thing. I think like before we get to the actual results, I think that just this is like such a great example of something that doesn't happen unless we all get together and do it, right? That we actually have a real lack of data underpinning what we're doing and pooling our resources to put something like this together. It's not actually a huge amount of work, and it can have a really, can bring a lot of value. Well, even though this one is a few months out past now, it's the first one. So actually, we can learn a lot from it.
And the next one, I would expect now that it's people know it's there. I'm sure some people missed it. And now on the WordPress.org/enterprise page, they have linked it up with a nice banner at the bottom. So I would expect we'll have quite a bit more data points for the next one. So definitely share it. If you listen to the show, check it out. Share it with anyone, especially corporations that might actively want to fill this out, because it can really help shape some of the future of WordPress, especially at the enterprise side.
What stood out to you from the actual results?
So the one that stood out to me, I think, really just like the important factors of choosing WordPress, right? Because this is something as an agency owner, I like to know this. Why did they choose WordPress, right? What was the items that kind of pushed them over the edge? I think cost is always going to be one of those things. It's always going to be a bit of a factor. But when you're in the enterprise, WordPress is probably one of the cheaper options, right? When you really think about licensing and costs and, you know, Adobe and Sitecore and some others versus WordPress, WordPress is generally going to come out on top, right? Probably almost in every case, it's going to come out on top from a cost perspective. But the number one thing on this list in terms of what was the most important was functionality, followed by scalability, extensibility, and usability. So it's really about the flexibility of WordPress, which I guess that makes sense, right? That's probably what I would assume too. But the WordPress is so flexible, scalable, that they can really extend it to do what they need to do, right? And that is the core of enterprise, because WordPress is not going to just install it and it's ready. It's ready for the enterprise, right? There is a lot you have to do to kind of get it ready. So, and a lot of that is customizations. And a lot of that's really specific to the organization you're working with, because again, they have such unique setups and unique systems. And most of them, they may be on a WP Engine or WordPress VIP, but many of them are not. A lot of them are still hosting their own stack, or maybe they have their own hardware, which I know sounds crazy, but some of these organizations do, because that's how they can control everything about what's on that and who has control over that data, right? Which is important to them. But on the flip side, something that caught my eye that wasn't as important is multilingual capabilities, which I thought was kind of surprising. Like every larger corporation I worked with, multilingual capabilities was important. Having localized content, especially in a region there's a global presence, you know, an office or something of that company. But I'm really surprised. It was over 57% said it's not important. Over half said it's not important.
Yeah, well, what's your take on that, Mario? I wonder if that gels with what you would assume the importance of the multilingual would be.
Well, and that's something that made an impression for me as well. So my personal way I'm interpreting this, at least, is first off, we do have a pretty sizable percentage of publishers here in that specific survey. So I would say that when we are considering about national publishers, particularly in, let's say, the States or the UK or Australia, they wouldn't be focusing that much on multilingual. That's kind of one thing that stands out. We've been working with different, again, enterprises, primarily North American, that they don't care that much about multilingual. And again, as someone who lived in Europe and my language, I'm not a native English speaker, I can totally understand how important this may be in certain scenarios. Like, again, you guys work with like Microsoft or some of the other top orgs that have 12 languages in the dropdown by default, right? So for some, that's important, but this may not necessarily be the most integral factor here. The other thing that stands in mind, stuck up here is I believe that they fully realize the power of WordPress multi-site and the ability to launch different instances for different regions or sites, because it's pretty common in enterprise, right? Most If you go to Nike or the Louis Vuitton brand, you land on a landing page with lots of flags and say, hey, which country? And then it leads you to some form of a localized website. So these are completely different standalone instances. And I think this is also pretty important to recognize. Enterprises are not afraid of, you know, maintaining 20 different websites, even though they may look alike, and just run a kind of DevOps tooling to upgrade all of these at the same time, unlike what we do ourselves. But a couple other things that kind of stood out in the survey. First off, and Brad kind of briefly touched on that, but functionality, like 70% of the surveys is functionality was very important. This was the leading factor. 70% says WordPress is there for functionality. And I think we are not talking about this enough. When I think of what are the options for an enterprise, they can go with a hosted kind of CMS or so, which, of course, it is hosted. It has a finite number of integrations, modules, developers or so. They can do bespoke, right? Build a team and build something for 3 years and spend like $12 million just building a bespoke system and then still don't have the integrations, or they can go open source. And when I think of open source, I just can't think of any better solution that has the flexibility, versatility, integration feature set, number of plugins or API integrations or so with WordPress. So I think this is pretty important. And last but not least, or actually two things, but I'll try to do it real quick. First off is build cost. So 22% of the survey said they build their enterprise MVP in like less than $50,000. I challenge any enterprise to do the same with any other platform whatsoever.
Is that a one pager?
Well, yeah, maybe just a mock-up. Maybe just a mock-up. If their creative team doesn't waste like four times on like charting a logo or something.
It's just a strategy phase.
Yeah. And hosting cost. We get lots of enterprises migrating to us because they say, hey, we find it better to pay, you know, let's say $10,000 a month retainer for you to like changes because we pay more for hosting. So we are paying like $15,000, $20,000 or so for just keeping the lights on, no custom development or changes or human contact whatsoever. And we believe we can, you know, we can bring our hosting down to like $2,000 to $5,000 a month and spend the other $10,000 and essentially incur zero costs whatsoever and actually get professional development hand behind. So comparing that with what it actually costs maintaining an enterprise system once it's already there is something that is a place where WordPress really shines.
Yeah, I mean, they're all good points for sure. I did pick up on the cost thing, and it's hard to say like what less than 50,000, whatever that was. But, there are smaller projects with enterprise. But yeah, like you said, there's usually a lot more hoops you have to jump through. So even a simple website turns into a much larger lift and build. The one area I think we really as a community need to work on, or maybe as an enterprise we need to work on, is contributing, right? So if you look at, does your organization contribute to open source? 62% said no, just flat out, nope, we do not contribute. Now, I do think you should take that with a grain of salt, because that holds true if they are not working with an agency, if they're not working with outside partners, right? If it's just their development team within their organization, they're not contributing, that's a flat no. However, I bet this is a little bit mixed bag, right? Where the no is, no, we don't, but we work with, you know, DevRex, or we work with Human, we work with WebDev, and they do. It's like indirectly by them hiring us and letting us build their sites and investing in not only their site, but in us as an agency, we're able to, you know, roll that forward into our Five for the Future efforts and our contribution efforts, because I know all of our agencies contribute to WordPress. I know that for a fact. So, and we would not do that if we didn't have an agency or did not have good clients that could allow us the time to do that, right? So I do think we should take that grain of salt, because I've worked with a lot of, you know, enterprise companies that don't contribute, but the agencies and companies I work with do.
I think it's something we could do quite a bit more around, actually, as a space, right? Like you say, I think a lot of those companies don't really realize that's the case. We're probably not doing a good enough job of like making that part of the pitch. I think it's pretty common these days, more and more common, for this like open source contribution stuff to fit quite nicely into goals or other initiatives that are happening in the enterprise. Again, there's like dots that are probably not being connected. Even like some kind of Five for the Future rec program that could extend to enterprise users of WordPress, I think would be like pretty interesting to think about.
Yeah, the great way to look at it too is if your team, your developers are contributing, it's not just putting things in the void and your corporation or organization gets nothing out of it, right? Like, yes, they're contributing to WordPress, which of course you're going to directly benefit from, but you're also leveling up your developers. Like, they are 100% getting better at WordPress and understanding how WordPress works and getting into the core software and understanding how to read the code and how to work with Track and how to interact with the community. So, you know, your developers are going to level up, which means you're going to get more out of them. The value is going to increase out of the salary versus benefits that you're getting from them, and work that you're getting. So there's just a lot of advantages to it. But I think organizations, it's a bit of a mindset shift, right? Like, they need to be working on our stuff. Why are they working over there? Well, they are working on your stuff by working over there. And you can also prioritize initiatives within contributing that are important to your organization. You know, it's still contributing. It's still helping. Even if you're saying, I really want you to contribute to this thing because we kind of need it. It still helps everybody. So I don't think that's a bad thing, right? If you want to contribute one thing, like if you're looking for an easy ticket, get featured images automatically added into RSS feeds, you know, that's still out there. But if that's important to your organization, your team could do that. And it could probably get in the next release of WordPress, right? So that's probably, like you say, there's an educational component to it too, right? Of, you know, they just look at it as time they're not spending on the business, but they actually kind of are. So that's something we're working on. We'll continue to work on because we love contributing to WordPress, all of us, right? So it's just working with these organizations and help them understand how they can do it and how that benefits them.
Something that jumped out to me in the survey that I'll just mention at the end was the like demographic of the respondents. I think something like 40, maybe slightly higher percent were leadership positions, which again, we've not been doing this survey before, but I would think that reflects a change compared to 5-6 years ago when actually WordPress was usually coming in bottom up. It wasn't leadership led. So I think that's the stat I'll be keeping an eye on over the surveys as we run them year on year. Because I think that, for me, tracks one of the major threads of like enterprise WordPress's evolution. How do we go from bottom-up champion to leadership led?
Yeah, that's actually a great point. You're not wrong. It used to bubble up from IT, the tech, people that worked with it and kind of liked it. And they're like, hey, we should look at this. Or maybe even marketing had an angle on it too, because they were familiar with it from a marketing angle. But yeah, seeing it from the top down, that is a bit of a shift, and that's a good shift. And then, of course, just around, this one is very encouraging too, and we'll wrap up the survey here, but around the block editor, right? We're always talking about what is the adoption, who's using the block editor, are they on the old classic WYSIWYG editor? And by and large, it seems like they are adopting it. There's only about 19% that are said they're still on classic. And I think, I was thinking about this, I'm like, I'm sure this is largely impacted by the fact that corporations and enterprise have budgets, right? They have money they can invest to say, we need to upgrade. This is the new thing. We got to get on it. Whereas smaller and medium businesses, if they just rebuilt their site a couple years ago, they're not going to reinvest to do it just to get blocks, right? Now, if you're a media site, you should, because the value you're bringing to your editors is going to be worth it. But a lot of sites, it's just not there. So I would imagine that's part of it. But just to see the adoption with the block editor being so high. And to be fair, about 27% is both. So kind of a mixed bag, but at least they are using some blocks. And then 54%, so over half, is they're all in on the block editor in Gutenberg. So that's nice to see.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to compare that to the broader, I don't know how that compares to like broader usage of block editor, but I do that. I think that also connects back to the previous point where actually like a lot of us who are doing enterprise work were involved in the block editor because we are part of the project. And so we were able to bring that experience very early to our clients. Like a lot of us were launching production enterprise on the plugin before it was even merged into core. Whereas a lot of the broader WordPress ecosystem, that transition's been more difficult. The ramp-up's been more difficult, learning a whole new thing. Whereas I think other enterprise agencies didn't face that so much because we were involved already.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 100%. It's such a game changer for organizations, especially media organizations. Once they see it, there's like that light bulb moment. Oh, yeah, we definitely want that.
Yeah, demo's amazing.
Cool. Well, we're kind of coming up on time, so I want to briefly just touch on upcoming events. I know we have WordCamp US is coming up, so if you're anywhere and you want to come, it's in Portland, Oregon, and it's coming up on September 17th, 20th. I will be there. Are either one of you going to be able to make WordCamp US this year?
I will also be there, yeah. Looking forward to that, yeah.
Tom will be there. Mario, you got to make it over?
It's close to school year, so unfortunately I should be here, but yeah.
I know. Yeah.
Timing is tough.
The timing of WordCamp US is always a little bit tough with school because it's, I think,
yeah,
last year was like the week right before school started for me. I know it's different everywhere, but you got to kind of juggle that with the family, right? So it'll be a really fun event. So Tom and I will be there. A number of members of the Scale Consortium with the group of agencies that are working with the enterprise. So if you're there, track us down. Love to talk WordPress, talk enterprise, all that good stuff. I want to give you both a chance to promote where people can find you online if they want to reach out and talk to you. Blog, your website, company, Twitter, X, whatever. So Tom, where can people track you down?
Probably Twitter is the best. Just my name, @TomWilmot. You should check out scaleconsortium.org if you're interested in what we're doing over there and this like general initiative to come together as an enterprise WordPress space and grow the pie for us all. And humanmade.com.
Awesome. Hey, Mario, where can everyone find you at?
Yeah, LinkedIn and Twitter are going to be the two best places. Look up Mario Peshev and more than happy to chat. If you need any WordPress or B2B growth solutions, devrix.com is the place to go. And yeah, if you have any questions about enterprise, I'm pretty sure that all of us are going to be more than happy to help out. We are not just spending 100% of our time on just sales pitches and closing business. We definitely want to make WordPress for the enterprise a better place and educating a lot for free, writing books, giving sessions and podcasts and lots of different events. So it's a completely different culture than what you're probably used to with webinars and sales pitches and BDR calls as well.
WordPress is the fun side of enterprise.
Yes. It's
definitely less stuffy over here. Come on in. The water's fine, right?
It is so. Definitely a lot.
Fun third prize.
I also love the fact you both called it Twitter. I'm still in the Twitter camp. So I'm on Twitter still somehow. Williams BA over at webdevstudios.com if you want to check out our professional side of things. But you know, this has really been a lot of fun. I'm really excited about the show because I want to bring on a lot of different guests and get different experiences. I want to bring on not just agencies, I want to bring on site administrators, site owners, I want to bring on marketing, I want to bring on people that are using WordPress in the enterprise and really hear about their experiences, good, bad, otherwise, right? So, but get a lot of people from Scale Consortium on here as well because they're all working within the enterprise. So it's going to be a lot of fun. So if you're interested in coming on the show, please reach out to myself or Bob WP. You can hit us up and we're in most of the WordPress Slacks post status. So love to have you on and looking forward to some future episodes on WordPress and the enterprise, the inside track. So I appreciate it, Tom, Mario. Thanks for joining and we'll see everyone next time.
Great chat, everyone.
See you next time.
See you next time.
Hey, Bob WP here, and I'd like to thank Avalara for their support. Please consider checking them out at avalara.com. And thanks for tuning in to Scaling Enterprise, WordPress, and OSS. If you're not subscribed, just visit todeblue.io/subscribe or find us on your favorite pod player. And remember, you can always subscribe to any of our shows directly or hear them all on our full Do The Woo channel feed. And lastly, we do welcome your thoughts, insights, and feedback on all of our episodes. Just head over to dothewoo.io and leave a comment on the episode you just listened to. Until the next time.